Good evening. We're going to be holding the microphone tonight so we can record this. That way it'll come through a lot better. Tonight is our service on testimonies, as you see here on the screen behind me. It's ones that have taken time to write down how and when they came to Christ, what things took place. So we're going to share that tonight, and hopefully we'll have some more so we can do it again at another time. So what we're going to do is read these, and we'll go from there. The first one I have says, how I was converted. My grandparents and parents were members of the church. When I was young, over 50 years ago, there was a preacher that was like a grandfather to me. He preached where I grew up. My cousin and I used to spend the night with Brother and Sister Wiseman. I loved and admired them. They taught me so much, as did my loving family. I was 12 when I put on Christ in baptism. Brother Wiseman was away in a gospel meeting. I told my grandma Sunday afternoon I was going to be baptized. She said, don't you want to wait until Brother Wiseman gets home? I was surprised grandma would say that. I told her it could not wait. I knew I was a sinner, and if I would die before Brother Wiseman got home, I would be lost. Young people, do not put off obeying the gospel if you know why you should be baptized. Obey and dedicate your life to Him. It will bring you joy, peace, strength, and hope. Most of all, be careful who you marry. Choose a partner that shares your goal of going to heaven when you die, and meeting our Father and Savior. Extra advice from someone who loves you. I think that's a pretty good testimony. And the young people are listening, right? My next one says, I was about 8 years old when my family went forward in baptism. I was 8 years old when my family went forward in the Baptist church to join. A boy next to me said, why aren't you up there with your family? So I joined them and repeated what one of my sisters had said. I was baptized without really knowing what I was doing. When I was about 13 and never missing a Sunday service, a boy literally knocked me out as I entered the church door. When I came to, I asked to be baptized as soon as possible. I knew it had to be done for me to be right with God. I strayed from going to services on a regular basis, and I blamed my husband, but I kept God in my heart. Therefore, my growth was at a standstill. The worldliness took over my life. When I started going to East Alton Church of Christ, I thought I was washed clean of my sins. Mr. Dave said I had been baptized for the wrong reason. I needed to do it again, and I knew things had gone wrong in my life, and I had fallen further away. The third time was a charm, and I know now those sins were washed away, and I am again straight with God. I am trying harder than ever to live, listen, and learn what God wants me to. And that was not a short discussion. This was something that took place over a long period of time and in between another preacher and other brethren. So this was something that was looked into in full depth. It wasn't something that was just said lightly. There was a lot of evidence presented and a lot of things showed, and that's when we came to that decision. And that was a joyful night that night. My last one I have says, although not a Church of Christ, not Church of Christ members, I was blessed to have parents who planted the seed of belief early in my life. My earliest remembrance of learning about Jesus was in a vacation Bible school when I was in third grade. Because my father had a career that involved frequent moves, we were never established in a permanent church home, but we did attend services on an irregular basis whenever, wherever we lived. Once we settled in the St. Louis area for a while, I did attend catechism classes and was confirmed into a denomination. Even though this denomination did not have a similar understanding of the scriptures that I have today, some of my most fond memories were of that church family and the lessons I learned from the Bible. Once I became a teen, I continued to pursue a relationship with God and read my Bible a lot and even attended worship services on my own at times. Then I met my future husband, and he too began his walk of learning about the Lord. When we married, I did get involved with non-denominational Bible studies, volunteered to teach vacation Bible school, and read my Bible with my husband. After we had been married for about 4 years, we moved to a small town in southern Illinois, not knowing a soul except my cousin and her family. My husband used to work out in the garage, and a neighbor would come over often and visit with him. He frequently asked us to visit his church. We made excuses, but eventually we attended, so he would stop asking us. We knew after attending the first time, there was something different about the church and began weekly home Bible studies. After a couple of months, we were baptized into Christ. This was an instrumental church. After we relocated to the Northeast, we found there was no Christian church in our area, and we attended a Church of Christ. And through this, we were providentially led to where we are today. And talking about a Christian church, that would be referring to First Christian, and they do baptize for the remission of sins. And you can agree with me or disagree with me if you want, but I do not believe it matters where you obey the gospel, that you do obey the five steps, that you hear, believe, repent, confess, and are baptized for the remission of sins. I do not believe it has to be in this building or in any specific building. If it is, I don't have it in Scripture. All I have is those five steps to follow, and it's not the one doing it as far as performing the baptism. It's the one who is coming to Christ. That's all that matters. Their relationship, as far as how they worship, may be in error after that, but that has nothing to do with their loyalty in coming to Christ to have their sins washed away. If you disagree and would like to study, I'm open. Kevin's open. And we'll study anytime you want. That's the three I have. I know Kevin's going to give some of his own. So I'm going to give mine. So this one, you'll know who it is. I was raised in the church, so I didn't come from outside the church and have to find my way here. I was raised in it my whole life. And it was just part of my life. We went to services all the time when I was growing up. My father died a gospel preacher. So that gives you some of my background. I was baptized the first time at 12 years old. And it was mainly because my uncle told me I could not lead singing if I wasn't a Christian. And believe it or not, listening to me today, back then I did have a good singing voice. And that was one thing I wanted to do. So I got baptized. And it wasn't until I was 17 that I realized that was wrong. I realized at 17 that I had not been baptized for the remission of my sins. So I got baptized. And if you noticed, I didn't say rebaptized because the first one wasn't that. The first one was a dip in the pool. The second one, I was baptized into Christ. However, because of the way I grew up in the church I grew up in is what you would call a super ultra conservative church. When I was young, we used to get together, and one time we went bowling. And the operative word there is one time. Because the older ones in the church did not feel that it was appropriate for young people to get together and participate in a secular activity. So we didn't do that again. Then, I guess it was about a year later, we all decided to get together and play softball, just us. So we did. But some of the girls wore shorts, and the shorts came to about here. Some of the older ladies in the congregation didn't feel that it was appropriate that boys should play with girls. So that also wasn't allowed. We didn't have potlucks because potlucks was a secular activity. We didn't have any get-togethers at all. There was zero interaction between us other than Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. That was it. People didn't get together much and visit or go out to eat or anything else. When we had a gospel meeting, you came to the gospel meeting, you went home. There was no extra activity after that at all. So when I went into the service, I decided I'm out of here. Okay? I can find better things to do with my time. So I did not attend church for many, many, many years. I hit a church here and there, but it just never fit. And then I got married and we moved back into the States, and we started attending church, but it was mainly because of my parents. We were living close to them, so I thought it was this thing to do, keep peace in the family, we'll go to church. So I would go to church, I did singing, I did some talking, I wouldn't really call it preaching. I've looked back since then on those lessons, I wouldn't call it preaching. In fact, some of them I wouldn't even call a real lesson. But that went on for a while, and then I got a job that made it convenient to fall away again. And so I did. And more years passed. Then, one night, I was on patrol, and a very bad incident took place at about 3:56 in the morning. I made a road stop, and we got into a shootout. My partner was hit, and I had a hit on my arm over here. Nothing bad, but things didn't go good. It was shortly after that I decided I might want to find my way back to God, because I was looking 6 inches from the end of a pistol that did not go off, that was pointed straight at my head. And so I thought, after that, it was time to at least start thinking about God. So we started attending church, and I started getting more serious with it. And then after that, we decided to go to Europe. And when we went to Europe, I met a man over there who helped bring me forward to what I am today. Without him, I'm not so sure that I would be standing here today. But he made me solid in Christ, and he gave me the foundation I needed, and he gave me my own personal faith that I needed. And it was through his teachings that I learned how to grow. And it was from that day forward till now that I have grown in Christ and will continue to grow. And I don't foresee me leaving the church except for one reason at this point, and that's when I die and I'm going home. But that's my story. And you all know the man that led me to Christ and made me solid. His name was Steve Wallace. The same man that I had to stop the meeting on here. And Kevin knows exactly how that made me feel. He had changed, and we all change over time. But my thanks is still to him for what he gave me today.
Thanks, Dave. I'm going to make a slight detour here. I want to thank everybody for praying for my daughter-in-law, Denise. She's supposed to come home tomorrow. She had successful surgery, and She's doing well considering what she's been through. Also, my other daughter-in-law, Jerry, is going to be, her and Aaron tomorrow are coming to St. Louis to try and have a procedure done to allow her to become pregnant. So please pray for them that they'll be successful. This first document that I have is an anonymous one, and it says, "This testimony," and it puts it in quotes, "does not focus on when I was baptized, because to this day, I'm not 100% sure that I was ready for such a commitment. It was about 5 to 6 years later when I was in a different situation in life. I found myself having more friends that were Christians than I had when I first baptized, Before, when I was surrounded by such negative influences, it was very difficult to even come close to leading a Christian life. But once my situation and life changed, and I was surrounded more by positive people trying to live a godly life, I began to understand better what it really meant to live as a Christian. This may seem like a pretty generic testimony, but I hope the point is clear. To give yourself the best chance to lead a Christian life, surround yourself with as many godly people as you can. Spend time with them and let them saturate your life with godly thoughts and actions. Don't let worldly thoughts, actions, and acquaintances be preeminent in your life." That's great advice. This next one is a story that I think several of you are familiar with. This is Sister Teresa wrote this for us, and I'm sure she could have made this much longer, but this is a great synopsis of the events that happened in her life. But it begins with just the phrase, "a promise kept." When our mother was going in for surgery on her heart, part of the East Alton congregation was over at Barnes with the older members of our family. As she was being rolled into the surgery, she made the nurses stop and said to me, and said this directly to Teresa, "Promise me that my girls will be in church every time the doors are open." Of course, we know who those girls were. That's Stella and Janet. These were the last words my mother spoke to me as she didn't make it through the surgery. The Sunday following mother's death, I said to my husband, who many of us know, Brother Larry, who's passed on, "I'm going to take the girls to church, and I would like you to go with us." We all went, and 3 months later, the rest of us were baptized, since the girls had already been baptized. From that beginning, I counted the people who were exposed to the gospel. I counted the people who were exposed to the gospel message as a result of mom's request at approximately 49 individuals. Fully half that number were baptized. In the last 45 years since her death, some have left the faith, some have moved away, 4 have died in Christ, and at least 1/3 of the rest are faithful Christians to this day because of a promise kept to a Christian woman. Very good. And this last one I have to read is Brother John Dugan. He wrote, "When I was growing up, my mom would take me to church on a semi-regular basis. I say semi-regular because I'd play sick from time to time to stay home and watch Wrestling at the Chase. Only back then, it wasn't Wrestling at the Chase. It was Wrestling at the Chase, because I used to have to watch that with my grandpa. When I was in my teens, I really didn't care about God at all, and I called myself an atheist for a number of years. I started to look for God in college and started to go to pagan festivals. While they were fun, they really had no substance other than tradition, and that was subjective at best. This experience didn't fit my curiosity for the God-shaped hole I had, so I continued to search. I then called myself an agnostic. I had a group of friends that I met with on a weekly basis to play role-playing games. You know, Dungeons and Dragons. And one of those friends was a Christian. After our gaming sessions,
My Christian friend and I would talk well into the night out by our cars about religion. We talked extensively about the problem I had with so many religions saying that they were the true path, the way. How was I supposed to choose a way when they all said there is only one way, and of course it's their way? And of course John concluded they cannot all be the way if there's only one way. After meeting like this for several months, our friendship grew much stronger, and our intense conversations grew to study sessions in the Scriptures. Questions that were asked were answered by Scriptures that were pointed out to me, and I made the connections. I read the book of James, and I started to worry about my soul. After a softball game one night about 19 years ago, that dates me a little, doesn't it, he says, my Christian friend and I had another long conversation about the book of James, and I could not deny the Scripture's truth anymore. I was baptized at 3 in the morning in a dirty softball uniform, but my soul was finally washed clean. What made me finally choose to be a Christian, as defined by the Bible over any, or let me do this right. What made me finally choose to be a Christian, as defined by the Bible, over any other theology? His answer, faith. You cannot prove God without faith. All religion takes faith. But the Bible provides such overwhelming evidence that the Bible is the truth, that your leap of faith becomes only a step. I have never regretted my decision to be a Christian, and I am more convinced than I ever was that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Very good. I have a few comments regarding my own situation also in Starlet's. I was also like Dave. I was raised in the church. My earliest memory of going to church is probably when I was about 4 or 5, and in our Bible class, we had a class once where they were teaching us what happens in worship, and I remember I had to bring a penny with me to worship services, because in Bible class we were going to learn what the collection was all about, and I had this faint memory of dropping a penny in the basket in our Bible class. But that was always a part of my life also, and so I think that makes it easier for one to come to Christ when that's what they've been exposed to all their life. And I'm always filled with admiration when I see those who had really no exposure to the Lord until they became adults, and how they chose to make this incredible decision to change their life. Not that I didn't do that when I obeyed the gospel, but it's a little bit different when your whole world revolves around that. And myself, I didn't get baptized till I was 17. And of course, I knew for years I needed to get it done, and I just kept putting it off. And the young people of our congregation over in Belleville used to go to nursing homes occasionally and sing hymns to some of the residents there on Sunday afternoons. And one Sunday afternoon we went, and this friend I was with introduced me to her grandmother. And she says, oh, this is Kevin, he's one of the Christian boys from our congregation. And I wasn't a Christian. And I looked at her and said, I'm not a Christian. And she's like, well, you ought to be. And so that really kind of brought it home to me. And I think it was probably the following Sunday when the invitation was offered, I got baptized into Christ. And it's kind of interesting, Brother Don Griffin's sister, who just passed away, worshiped in the building where I was baptized. Now, I went to a different congregation from her, but our baptistry was broke the day that I got baptized, and so we had to drive over to another church building, and that's where I was baptized, was in a different church building. And I guess I've probably thought about it before, but I don't remember it, but we had the same circumstance happen with Starlet. When Starlet was baptized, when we lived in Texas, we were meeting in a schoolhouse because we had a building being built, and we had to go to a different church building for her baptism also. But like Dave, I had worldly distractions after I obeyed the gospel, and I fell away as the few years went by. And when Starlet and I were married and we moved to Texas, we didn't know anyone, and we just happened to live about a block from a church building. So, and of course, my dad said, "Kevin, I know people in Texas, so you need to start going." And I said, "Okay." So we started going to church, and just had a wonderful group there, and the elders, one of the elders kind of took Starlet under her wing. I was never home. I was working all the time, going to school all the time. And I think it was on Sunday nights, I believe, when they would come over to the house, and I would be going into work, and they would have Bible studies with Starlet. And after she had a C-section with Aaron that year, and then a few months later had to have a really horrible gallbladder surgery. Back in the 80s, it was really bad. She realized that this was she had come close to death and that she needed to get her life right with Christ. Of course, at this time, I still hadn't been restored yet. And so she called up the elder and told him that she wanted to be baptized. And she still had her bandages on her from her surgery when she was baptized. And of course, he talked to me and he said, "Don't you think you need to do something too?" See, I always need someone to kind of knock on my head, you know. And I said, "You're right, I need to." So we went up, went forward together, and she was baptized and I was restored to the faith. So that congregation in Texas had a lot to do with our conversion and restoration. And of course, all of us have different ones that made an impact on our lives, that kind of gave us helpers and pointers along the way, directed us to the right scriptures to help us come to Christ. And you know, in Luke chapter 19, Jesus brought Zacchaeus to Christ. And, you know, he took this person that most people would have, well, the Jews for sure would had no time for Zacchaeus. You know, he was a tax collector. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. He wasn't worthy of their time. He certainly wasn't worthy of the time of the Son of God. And yet Christ saw the opportunity there, he saw the interest there, and he took advantage of it. And if you look, it says in verse 8 of chapter 19, "And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded any one of anything, I restore it fourfold.'" This is after he is in the process of coming to Christ. And here's what Christ said: "Today, salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." All of us has had someone in their lives that looked at us, saw an opportunity there, and saw a soul in need of Christ, and took the time to bring us to Christ. They believed this verse that Jesus said he came to seek and save the lost. And someone saw us in our lost state, loved us enough to bring us to Christ, as Christ did here with Zacchaeus. Regardless of what others might have thought, regardless of how inappropriate someone may have thought that we were, that we didn't have any prospect of converting to Christ, someone took the time to work with us. And in my own case, I was raised at the feet of hearing all my teen life and until I was baptized. I got to hear a preacher by the name of James Dismuke. His son-in-law used to preach at Godfrey years ago. I know Ben and Terry know him. I think they had a lot of good Bible studies with him through the years. And he was very instrumental in helping me. He taught the high school class most of the time. I think my dad taught my junior high class for a few years, and then Brother Jim taught the teen class. And the things that he taught us there and made us memorize really had an influence. But again, we all know different ones. We could make a list of the names of the people that were instrumental in our conversion. So I guess my advice for us today is to look for opportunities to seek and save the lost. Don't count anybody out. unless they just absolutely reject you, and always look for opportunities to continue to bring them to Christ. And so this evening, that's what we want to do. We want to let everyone know that's here this evening that if you have not obeyed the gospel, think about what I was told. You ought to. You ought to obey the gospel. You need Christ. You need to be saved from your sins. So if you believe with your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you've decided that I need to make things right, I know I'm lost right now, and you're ready to change your life and to submit your life to Christ, you can come forward as we sing our invitation song in a moment, and you can confess your belief in the Christ, and you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can leave here tonight, one of the saved, and maybe in a few years, you can write it all down, and we'll share it with one another. And for those of you that didn't write anything down, I encourage you to start thinking about it, because hopefully we'll have an opportunity to do this again. This has been extremely encouraging to me. You know, there was a point when we were all in the same boat, weren't we? We were all lost. Someone loved us enough to care for us. Of course, now that we're in that boat that's saved, we all know that if we're not careful, we can fall out of the boat, can't we? We can find ourselves in the state that Dave was in, that I was in, that we fell away, and we lost our first love. And so if that's your situation tonight, you can make things right. You can get back in that boat. You can ask us if you like to pray with you tonight so that you might be forgiven of your sins. Or if you need to, as we sing the invitation song, you can pray to God tonight yourself. Confess your sins to Him. Ask Him to forgive you, and He will. So if you have any need tonight that we can help you with, we encourage you to come forward now as we stand and sing this hymn.